My message this morning, how to live for God. Well, let's talk about God. God is real. He is alive. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, present everywhere throughout the universe and beyond. He is wise, good, kind, fair, honest, right, true. He created everything that exists. He created human beings for his purposes. We exist for him. We exist for his purposes. God is the judge of all humanity. There will be a day of judgment, and on that day of judgment, he will judge everyone who has ever lived. Those who lived for him will live forever with him. Those who did not live for him will not live forever with him. So, in light of these truths, in light of these realities, we should want to live for God. And yet, most people don't. But we should want to live for God. So, how do we live for God? The Word of God teaches us that we cannot earn our salvation by human effort, by good deeds, by law-keeping, by Torah observance, by being good people, or by our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. We are not saved by anything that we can do. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Why? We have a nature that is too fallen, too sinful, too rebellious against God, too hostile toward God for that. This is a problem with our nature that is fallen, sinful, rebellious, hostile toward God. We can only be saved by God's grace, his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, and our faith response to his grace. We are saved when we understand who Yeshua is and what Yeshua did for us. We are saved when we understand that Yeshua is the unique Son of God, that he left heaven and through the incarnation became a man. He lived a holy life. He died a very special death to atone for our sins and enable us to be reconciled to God. Yeshua was then raised from the dead and is alive now at this very moment at the right hand of God the Father, full of grace and life and love and power. We are saved when we know these truths and then make a serious commitment to follow and obey this living Lord and Savior. When we are saved by faith, we are given the Holy Spirit. Being saved by our faith is connected to the giving of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved by faith, the Spirit of God is given to us in a very special way. He begins to transform us. He gives us a whole new nature, a new godly nature, like God's nature, that is compatible with God. A new nature that loves God and wants to serve God. When we are saved by our faith, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. What an amazing thing that is. The Word of God also teaches us that God's grace and our faith response, not human effort, not good deeds, law keeping, Torah observance, is not only the way we are saved, but is the way we are to continue to live. And that's the focus of this message. The way we are saved by faith is the way that we are to continue to live for God. By faith, not by human effort, good deeds, law keeping, Torah observance. The way we start our life with God by faith is the way we continue to live for God. By faith. We're saved by faith, then we live by faith. By having faith in God, trusting God, believing God, having confidence in God. We live by faith every day, every hour, and hopefully moment by moment. Moment by moment. It was when Peter was looking at Yeshua, fixing his eyes on the Son of God, that Peter was able to walk on water. That's moment by moment faith. It was when Peter took his eyes off of Yeshua that he started to sink under the water. That is not moment by moment faith. When we live by faith, the Spirit of God lives in us and he fills us. He fills us, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So important, so crucial. When he fills us, we are close to God. We're aware of God. We're alive to God. When we live by faith and the Spirit of Yeshua is filling us, we become like Yeshua. Happens naturally. We begin to love what Yeshua loves. We reject what Yeshua rejects. It's automatic. We have this new nature. We have the Spirit of Yeshua living in us. We're close to him. We become like him. We love what he loves. We reject what he rejects. It's automatic. It's our nature now. When we live by faith and the Spirit is filling us, we understand what the will of God is for us. We know what God wants. We know what he doesn't want. His Spirit's in us, filling us. We're close to him. We know what he wants. We know what he doesn't want. And we're able to live according to God's will because the Spirit's filling us and giving us power to know what God wants and to do what God wants. When we live by faith and the Spirit is filling us, we are able to turn away from sin and evil and resist the things that tempt us. And each one of us has various things that tempt us. When we live by faith and the Spirit is filling us, we are able to live righteous, holy, God-honoring lives. Good living, right living, holy living, God-honoring living comes from living by faith and the Holy Spirit filling us. This is a radically different way of living for God than trying to live by human effort, by human will, by Torah observance, or by keeping commandments. This is radically different from any other religion. Christianity is not focused on keeping laws and observances. Otherwise, it would be called law-ianity. But it's not called law-ianity. It's called Christianity, Christianity. Legalism focuses on laws, actions, works, disciplines, practices, commandments. Do this, don't do that. Eat this, don't eat that. Don't touch that, don't wear that. Look at this, but don't look at that. Observe the Sabbath, but not Sunday. Observe this holiday, but not that holiday. This is legalism. This is lawianity. These things have the appearance of right living, but they lack the power to produce right living. They cannot make us holy. They can't help us overcome sin, evil, and temptation. They can't transform us into the likeness of Yeshua. They can't help us live for God the way we need to live for God. Christianity focuses on Christ. Makes sense. Christianity focuses on Christ, Messiah. Christianity focuses on Christ and his sufficiency for salvation and his sufficiency for right living. His sufficiency for living for God. Why? Because in Messiah, we are complete. United to Yeshua, because of our faith, we lack absolutely nothing. We do not need anything else to be complete. The Son of God living in us and through his Spirit living in us is our sufficiency. Adding anything to his sufficiency, like law-keeping, Torah observance, takes away from his sufficiency. Adding anything to his sufficiency for us does not add any spiritual benefit to us. In fact, it takes away spiritual benefit from us. Yeshua himself, the living Lord and Savior, must be the absolute center and focus and heart of our religious life. We must constantly fix our eyes on him. He must be living in us and filling us by his Spirit living in us and filling us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. The kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or what we drink. It's not about laws, actions, works, disciplines, practices, commandments, anything external. The kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Living by faith and the Spirit filling us is the way to live for God. It enables us to live a life of goodness and experience peace and joy. Right living, successful living, followed by eternal life. It's really so simple. Rabbi Paul summed it up in these six words in English. I don't know how many in Greek. Messiah in you, the hope of glory. So simple. Messiah in you, through his Spirit. That is your hope of salvation, eternal life, becoming the glorious son or daughter of God that God wants you to be. That's it. Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Radically different way of living
than religious people in the world live, focused on external actions and activities.
So, what does living for God look like? Of course, it looks like Yeshua. He perfectly lived for God all the time, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. He is the model for what living for God looks like. You want to know how to live for God? Look at the life of Yeshua. Living for God also looks like the two greatest commandments: loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving our neighbor. And the two commandments are connected. We cannot love God if we don't love our neighbor. Here's why. It's so easy to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Messianic Jew, I'm a believer, I love God. Easy to say. But talk is cheap. God lives in his people on earth. We are his temple. He lives in us individually, and he lives in his sons and daughters collectively. We become the temple of the living God. God lives by his Spirit in the people of Messiah's community. So the truth is, we don't love God who we don't see if we don't love the people he's living in who we do see, who are right there with us. Loving God means more than reading the Bible on your own, praying on your own, maybe occasionally coming to a worship service, singing a few songs, throwing a few bucks in the offering plate, or in our case, the donation box. Loving God means being involved members of a local community of Yeshua followers with God-ordained leaders. It means regularly coming to the gathering of the community, regularly. It's a priority. Why wouldn't you want to? In fact, you love your brothers and sisters. You want to be with them, even if some of them are annoying at times. It means being connected to the leaders of the community so that they know you and are able to speak into your life, teaching you and correcting you when you need some correction and are going in a bad direction. It means knowing your brothers and sisters, knowing them. Can't really love them without getting to know them. Serving them in some way with the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you. You can't love and serve your brothers and sisters without knowing them, being involved with them. So, how to live for God? Here's some practical things to do. We absolutely must be filled with the Spirit of God. Have to be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? We simply ask God to fill us with the Spirit. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. It's not any more complicated than that. There's no secret formula. You've got to want God to fill you with his Spirit and just keep asking, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be close to you. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Let's learn from the earliest followers of Messiah, those Messianic Jews of the early church who were led by the Lord's very special disciples. They shared everything they had. They worshiped together pretty much every day. They ate meals together in each other's homes. Now, we can't meet each day in our circumstances here. It's too complicated, too difficult, impractical. But we can show hospitality. We can be hospitable. When we meet on Shabbat or on holidays, we can get here early. We can stay a little bit later, talk to our brothers and sisters, get to know them, encourage them. If something's bothering them, and something's almost always bothering someone, say a good word to encourage them, pray for them right then and there. It doesn't have to be a long, fancy prayer, even if it's a short one. God, help my brother, help my sister. We can call someone during the week, one of our brothers and sisters at Shema. Talk to them, pray with them over the phone. Men with men, women with women is the way to go. We can invite someone out to lunch or out to dinner. We can invite someone to our home for lunch or dinner. We can stay for the onegs. We can sit next to someone we don't know and get to know him or her and not have the same little clique of five or six people that we limit our associations with. We have about 200 people who are involved with Shema right now. About 150 people are coming in person at this time. I think we have about 50 who are live streaming for various reasons. They can't be here, don't want to be here for maybe health concerns. I want to challenge you to get to know half of the 150 who are coming. I know everyone. I'm not asking you to know everyone. I'll settle right now for half. 150. You think you can do that? That's 75 people. We can pray for everyone who's part of Shema every day. And you should be praying for your brothers and sisters at Shema and throughout the world every day. A little prayer. Lord, bless them. Fill them with your Spirit. Help them to be filled with the Spirit, to live with you, to walk with you, be alive to you, dead to sin, resist temptation. Be more heavenly minded, less earthly minded, more passionate about you, proclaiming the good news, building up Messiah's community. Some practical things, how to live for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us be saved by faith, then live by faith every day. Every hour, moment by moment. We know that good living, right living, successful living comes from a close personal relationship with you, the living God. Help us have that relationship with you. Fill us with your Spirit and enable us to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, reside in the Spirit constantly. May Yeshua, your Son, continually be our source, our sufficiency, our completeness, our life, our all in all. May we constantly fix the eyes of our faith on him. Thank you for the glorious freedom we have because we know that our completeness comes from our union with you and your Son, and not from following laws and commandments. Heavenly Father, we pray for those caught up in legalism and the external trappings of religion. Help them understand the truth and live the way you want them to live, by faith in response to your grace and by being filled with your Spirit. Amen.